This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates and an intuitive drag-and-drop website builder, you can get your business online today. No coding needed. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Seeking a terrorist in the Phoenix area. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, September 10, glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Officials in Arizona say a series of vehicle shootings along Interstate 10 amount to domestic terrorism. They're now investigating as many as 9 highway incidents.
Addressing criticism from Democrats that it's not aggressive enough with white-collar crime, the Justice Department is introducing a new approach.
Vice President Joe Biden continues to test the waters for a presidential campaign. Hear his messaging lately.
And the most expensive cities to raise a family, D.C., number one.
Washington, D.C., a family of four needs $106,493 just to get by and raise your two kids. And that's because, really, child care in D.C. is the highest in the nation, $31,158 a year on average just for child care in the D.C. area.
Market Watch reporter Katie Hill on where the kids will cost you the most, her list, in about 20 minutes. It's being called domestic terrorism in Arizona following another random vehicle shooting. Police in Phoenix say a truck's passenger window shattered on a freeway yesterday, the latest in a string of highway shootings that have heightened fears of a possible serial shooter.
These are bad people trying to do harm to good people.
There have now been a confirmed 9 vehicle shootings over the past 2 weeks. One bullet shattered a windshield, and a 13-year-old girl was cut by broken glass. Other rounds hit a headlight and the sides of vehicles. Colonel Frank Milstead, director of the Arizona Department of Public Safety, says the perp or perps will be caught.
I think we have a couple of different MOs emerging from these cases. We had some that were very similar last weekend, and the 4 that we've had over the last 4 days appear to be similar as well.
Another incident you might recall involved an off-duty police sergeant's vehicle whose window was shot out as he drove to work. The public is now being asked to help. Officials have put messages on freeway billboards urging people to report suspicious activity. The reward information is now $20,000. Well, the fangs are out for those for and against the much-debated Iran nuclear agreement, and the rhetoric is heating up. Yesterday, Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz held a rally to denounce it.
The Obama administration will become, quite literally, the world's leading financier of radical Islamic terrorism.
Meanwhile, fellow Republican Donald Trump spoke as well.
Never, ever, ever in my life have I seen any transaction so incompetently negotiated as our deal with Iran.
Separately, Democratic hopeful Hillary Clinton gave a speech to praise the accord.
Either we move forward on the path of diplomacy and seize this chance to block Iran's path to a nuclear weapon, or we turn down a more dangerous path leading to a far less certain and riskier future.
On Capitol Hill, congressional Republicans sought last-minute ways to stop the accord, which is designed to dial down Iran's nuclear program in exchange for the lifting of economic sanctions. Even if Congress succeeds in passing legislation aimed at undermining it by next week's deadline, President Obama would veto such a measure, and minority Democrats have secured enough votes to sustain him. Well, Vice President Joe Biden continues to test the waters about a possible late entry into the Democratic presidential primary race. Tonight, he'll appear on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Meanwhile, staff writer Jordan Fabian at The Hill says Mr. Biden road-tested his campaign message over the weekend. He joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Jordan, what's he been up to?
Well, the vice president was on a big road trip last week going to Florida, the biggest swing state of the country, where he talked up his domestic record and his foreign policy chops. And then he went to Pittsburgh on Labor Day, and he sure looked like a candidate marching in the parade there. He heard chants of "Run, Joe, run," and he fired up a crowd there of union workers, you know, calling for the end of the tax breaks for the rich to address income inequality. So certainly looking like a candidate out there, although he hasn't decided yet whether he's going to enter the race.
Wouldn't it, well, this is me, like layman's observer here, but wouldn't it be strange for him not to declare, given what he's done recently?
Well, you know, I don't think it would be, actually. You know, this is all official travel for him, so it sort of gives him the chance to get out there and test the message without officially being in the race. And, you know, the family concerns that he's facing following the death of his son, Joe, are a real concern for both him and his wife, Dr. Jill Biden. You know, they're both that those the grieving process is really weighing on them. They're not sure if running for president and all that comes with it is the right move for their family at this time. Mm. And I know that, you know, that's something that all politicians say, you know, is this right for my family? But I think this really is a real concern for the Bidens. So I really don't think their mind is made up yet. I don't think they're close to make up their mind either. Not yet.
Wow. All right. And as you say, too, in the piece, he has appeared energized during these trips.
Absolutely. You know, for people who watch Joe Biden, you know, when he gives speeches, you know, he can alternate between, you know, being very, introspective and mournful, you know, when he remembers his son, Beau. But there are times when he gets really fired up and is really energized and speaking passionately about the issues. And we saw that in Florida. You know, he was talking up his foreign policy experience, saying he's traveled, you know, almost a million miles for the president, his vice president, you know, sort of a little dig there at Hillary Clinton, saying he can match records with her on foreign policy. You know, the former Secretary of State, you know, in Pittsburgh, he was jogging even in the parade to keep up with the pace and, you know, shaking hands and, you know, doing, you know, the things that you'd expect Joe Biden to do at a Labor Day parade. So he really has looked energized and excited about being out there.
Mm. We're speaking with Jordan Fabian, White House correspondent at The Hill. He's got a piece entitled Biden Road Tests 2016 Message. Is there a way that's been noticeable, Jordan, that he's, you know, sort of passive-aggressively tried to distinguish himself from, say, Clinton or Sanders?
Well, I think, you know, the comment about the miles traveled for the president was certainly a dig at, you know, Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State. The number that he's traveled is slightly larger than hers, and I think that, you know, for people who are tuning in who knew that, that was a slight, you know, dig at her, if you will.
Okay.
And with Bernie Sanders, you know, he's sort of given him a big bear hug on the trail. He's saying, you know, Bernie Sanders has done a hell of a job. And, you know, I think that might indicate that if he enters the race, Biden might try to seize some of that populist mantle from Sanders, you know, trying to appeal to middle and working class voters the Democrats need to win general election race.
You say, too, he's got this everyman persona, which is appears to be appealing.
In a presidential race right now that's being dominated by Donald Trump, who might be the most unscripted candidate we've seen in a very long time, I think that Biden's sort of off-the-cuff style holds some appeal for voters. You know, they don't want, you know, the scripted, the, you know, telegraphed message that's coming from a lot of politicians. I'm sure you saw a piece over the weekend in the New York Times that was, you know, Hillary Clinton's campaign staff, you know, leaking out details of how she's going to be, you know, sort of more, you know, relaxed and off the cuff on the campaign. And that's sort of, you know, a bit of irony there in having to leak that out to the media. So I think that, you know, there's an understanding on all the campaigns that this is what voters crave right now. And, you know, Biden has that in spades, and that's a big plus for him if he decides to enter the race.
All right, so on the fundraising front, he can compete, I presume?
I think so. You know, a lot of talk has been surrounding his fundraising. I think he will be able to raise money, certainly not as much as Hillary Clinton, who pulled in $45 million in the first quarter of this year. But he will be able to compete on the fundraising front, I think.
Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Fabian at The Hill. 15 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. and all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
Glad you're with us. Good Thursday morning. The U.S. is the latest country to say it'll help address the migrant crisis in Europe, with plans to accept at least 5,000 additional refugees next year. There's also the possibility of increasing the number to thousands more. Secretary of State John Kerry told lawmakers yesterday that the U.S. expects to take at least 75,000 refugees from all parts of the world in 2016. That's an increase from this year's total of 70,000.
That's being vetted fully right now, and I think at the appropriate time we'll have a better sense of exactly what that number can be.
House Speaker John Boehner on Capitol Hill.
The president's lack of strategy with regard to ISIS and what's happening in Syria is causing a worldwide problem.
Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal also reports that Mr. Kerry would likely come back to Congress to request their agreement in taking in more refugees. When pressed on what that number might be, he suggested 100,000. That's about 30,000 more than this year. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Burden highway shootings near Phoenix are rattling nerves and heightening fears of a possible serial shooter. There have been at least 9 confirmed shootings in the area the last 2 weeks, and officials are investigating if a 10th yesterday is related. Frank Milstead is the director of the Arizona Department of Public Safety.
This is job one for my agency, and we will capture whoever this is.
So far, only one person has been injured in the incidents, a 13-year-old girl who was cut by broken glass. Milstead calls the shootings domestic terrorism crimes. Austrian police say more than 3,000 migrants and refugees crossed into Austria overnight at Nikolsdorf, the main border point with Hungary. Authorities are meeting to discuss whether further special trains will be sent to the border for transport to Vienna. Most of those arriving there, since the influx began on the weekend, have chosen to continue on to Germany. The Senate has begun debating the Iran nuclear deal. Republicans assailed it. Democrats defended it as the best option to keep the Iranians from developing nuclear weapons. Opponents of the deal, including Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, rallied against it outside the U.S. Capitol yesterday. Widespread flooding and landslides in northeast Japan have forced more than 90,000 people to abandon their homes. The city of Joso, about 30 miles north of Tokyo, was hit by a wall of water after a major river burst its banks. Helicopter rescue teams have been plucking people from rooftops. And Harlem's Apollo Theater will launch a hologram of Billie Holiday later this year. Holiday, who made her debut at the Apollo when she was 19, appeared at the famed venue nearly 30 times. She was born in Philadelphia and died in 1959 in New York City at age 44. The likeness of the late musical icon will be developed by Hologram USA.
Pretty cool. All right, thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News.
Hey, football fans, this is Craig James, host of the Airing It Out with Craig James podcast. Thanks for listening to This Morning with Gordon Deal. Football season is here, and each week on Airing It Out, I'm bringing you my picks and weekly analysis of your favorite college and professional teams. Plus, we'll bring you insight and perspective from some of the biggest names in the game. Find us on iTunes by searching Airing It Out with Craig James, or go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com to click the link for Airing It Out and subscribe for free today.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday Eve. Hey, if you have some flexibility about where you can raise your family, consider Middle America if saving money is a top priority. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill says in some spots around the country, it costs parents well into six figures just to eke by. She's got a list of the most expensive cities in which to raise a family. Katie, how'd you make up the list?
There's a pretty robust amount of data pulled from a variety of sources, a lot of government data in there, to look at what is the cost of two-parent, two-child family just to pay the bills. This is not having any money left over for savings. And this really doesn't even mean a middle-class lifestyle. This is like just living, no savings. What does that take? And so they found some pretty interesting discrepancies in where the most expensive places to live. Washington, D.C., a family of four needs $106,493 just to get by and raise your two kids. And that's because, really, child care in D.C. is the highest in the nation, $31,158 a year on average just for child care in the D.C. area. So that is not cheap.
Wow. We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Katie Hill. Her piece is called The 10 Most Expensive Places to Raise a Family. All right, so name a few others.
Nassau, Suffolk County, New York, basically that's what we call Long Island, Westchester County. Those are the two big suburbs of New York City. Those are number one and number two. Basically, it costs you $100,000 plus in those two places to raise your kids with basic stuff. And then New York City, number four, probably not surprising. That one probably landed in the number four slot because the transportation costs, obviously, when you live in New York, tend to be way lower. Westchester and Long Island, you're taking your car a lot, and that really bumps up your transportation costs. But yeah, New York State has super high child care costs, which is pushing these places, which are already very, very expensive to live in, way up at the top even more.
Coasts only. I mean, nothing in the middle part of the country.
Nothing. By the way, those were the middle parts of the country. When you look down there, they're way towards the bottom. Everything just tends to be cheaper. Their taxes are often cheaper. The child care, the housing, everything. Yeah, you literally, it's just like a red line on the two coasts here. And yeah, I mean, a lot of it's in the Northeast, which I guess isn't surprising. And in Honolulu, that landed in the number six spot. Honolulu is crazy because the food costs there are super high because it's an island. So that really pushes them way to the top because you pay a ton just to feed your family there.
Get me Omaha on the phone. We're making a move in a few years.
That's my no, seriously, this made me think, what am I doing here?
Exactly.
I'm just throwing money out the window every day.
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. So the list, number one, D.C. Number two, Long Island, New York. Number three, Westchester County, New York. Number four, New York City itself, followed by the Stanford, Norwalk, Connecticut area at five. Honolulu, specifically the Waikiki neighborhood, is at number six. Number seven, back to New York for the Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, Middletown area. Ithaca, New York, by Cornell at number eight. San Francisco, number nine. Danbury, Connecticut, number 10. The most expensive places to raise a family. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Do you want to learn how to steal customer credit card information from major retailers so you can buy anything you want?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's award-winning firewalls prevent hackers from taking your valuable data to the bank. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about protecting customer data and your reputation, visit barracuda.com/firewalls.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Thursday, September 10. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Arizona authorities are calling the series of vehicle shootings domestic terrorism. Massive flooding right now in Japan. In a Rolling Stone interview, Donald Trump made fun of Carly Fiorina's looks. New iPhones and iPad from Apple. Bon Jovi, the latest to have a concert tour canceled by paranoid Chinese officials. And with the Patriots and Steelers kicking off the NFL season tonight in Foxborough, we'll identify the least optimistic fan bases. That list in about 20 minutes. The long wildfire season drags on in the West. In Utah, firefighters are struggling to rein in the 720-acre Wheeler fire. There are now 230 firefighters working to cut containment lines. Meanwhile, Doyle Rice at USA Today says the 2015 wildfire season is not only setting records for acres burned, it's also nearing the costliest on record. Doyle, drought get much of the blame here?
Yeah, there is a drought component to it. A lot of the fires this year have burned in Alaska, and they had one of their driest and hottest winters on record. So numerous numbers of wildfires were really roaring in Alaska, which has contributed a lot to the overall total.
All right, so explain some of the numbers involved in terms of money spent fighting these things.
Yeah, this year we've so far the Forest Service, which is the government agency that spends the most on firefighting, they've spent $1.23 billion this year to fight the fires, and that is coming close to their record of a $1.65 billion, which was set back in 2002. And just the last week alone, they spent $250 million in 1 week fighting fires in the West.
Goodness. All right, so how do they spend it? Do they have their own personnel and equipment, or are they allocating money to, say, states' fire departments like Idaho, California, Washington, Oregon, whatever?
Yeah, it's kind of a mix. These costs do not include the state firefighting budgets, such as California or Washington State. Like California alone has spent, just since July 1st, has spent $205 million. So these costs that I was mentioning for the Forest Service are strictly federal working, people who are working for the government.
Wow. We're speaking with Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. He's got a piece entitled U.S. Nears Costliest Wildfire Season on Record. So it doesn't seem either like this is going to slow down, right? I mean, we don't have any weather relief for the such dry areas out west?
One thing that has been good news lately is the Washington and Oregon have seen a bit of a cooling trend. They've got some rain and some clouds and higher humidity, which is helping the fires up there. Washington this summer had their biggest wildfire in state history. So there is some good news there. Unfortunately, down into California, this is actually typically their peak fire season is September and October, and they are, you know, as we know, California's been in a four-year drought, and really no signs of improvement, at least for the next couple of months. So they're really battening down there in California for what could be a bad couple of months.
Jeez. All right, well, you can't discuss that kind of government spending without thinking about the upcoming budget deadline that Congress has to beat. Does the U.S. Forest Service have enough money, I guess?
They keep having to pull from other sources. Unfortunately, they keep over the last few years of having to pull from suppressing wildfires is taking up so much of their budget that they can't spend anything on kind of the off season of fires, of doing some more trimming and things like that that can help the rest of the year. And there is actually an act making its way through Congress now, the Wildfire Disaster Funding Act. And that's one way that they would be able to treat wildfires like any other natural disaster, like earthquakes or hurricanes or tornadoes, and not have to pull money from kind of other places to pay for fighting them.
Wow. All right, so what about going forward, though, right? Because there's no sign that California's drought is going to end anytime soon. I mean, do they have to rethink the way they approach these wildfires?
Yeah, talking to the experts, they're thinking that really with climate change and with the way these fires are burning so explosively, so hot and so large, that there's going to be kind of have a rethinking of how much we have to fight these fires, which are fiercer than ever. And you mentioned no relief in sight. Well, California is kind of counting on El Nino coming this winter. That's a periodic warming of Pacific Ocean water that triggers a lot of rain, usually, in California. And that's one thing they're kind of banking on for this winter to help with the drought and also the fire season. But that won't be for a couple more months at least.
Thanks, Doyle. Doyle Rice at USA Today. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, we can hook up on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow, or you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, as we all bask in the afterglow of another Apple product announcement, scheming about how we can get our hands on the newest generation of gadgets, it's time to revisit our favorite of the semi-regular studies, the one about how much we're addicted to our smartphones. A new UK report from Deloitte Mobile Consumer surveyed 4,000 people and discovered that over a third of respondents check their phones between 25 and 50 times a day, and 16% do it over 50 times. In addition, 1 in 10 of us pick it up as soon as our eyes open in the morning, and not just to turn off the alarm. 53% do that within 15 minutes of waking. When we head to nighttime, 28% of people check their smartphone 5 minutes before going to sleep. Also, interesting, according to the survey, 25% of smartphone users make no traditional voice calls in a given week.
Wow.
It's all texting. According to review, the Pew Research Center, 64% of Americans now own a smartphone.
That strikes me as a low number. I thought it was more than that.
You know, it's funny, because this is a UK study. The beginning of this part, the story here was a part of a UK study, and in the UK, it's actually 76%. Wow. But here in the US, we're still stuck at 64%. In fact, smartphone adoption, I believe, in countries just about all around the world, besides the US, is higher than we are here. For whatever reason, we're lagging behind. I don't know why that is.
Wow. All right, by the way, you and I, what are we in, like the 1% who check our phones 30 seconds before we go to bed?
Yeah, we're
always have to
these.
Check it, like, yeah, I'm half falling asleep, but I got to check one more time to see if Mike has sent me information for the next day's program.
Yes, we have an excuse that we need it for work, but then, but of course, we all know lots of people who don't use their phones from work who also fall into the super user category as well.
Yes.
And move over, Usain Bolt. There's a new celebrity racing into the record books. CNN says that Birdie the Tortoise has entered the Guinness Book of World Records after smashing the decades-old mark for speed for his species. Birdie reached a breathtaking speed of 0.6 miles per hour to set the record, previously held by a tortoise named Charlie, who set the mark way back in 1977. Both of the animals live in the UK. Birdie is not the first animal to win bragging rights. In next year's edition of the book, California resident Francesca had the longest fur on a rabbit, measuring nearly 14 inches. Hmm. Now, the reason I brought up this story is because I think I want the job of the guy who gets to measure the speed of the tortoise for the Guinness Book of World Records. That sounds like an extremely low-stress job.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
One where you don't have to check your smartphone 78 times an hour like we do.
Very good point. I do have some news I want to share, Mike, by the way, just to change subjects for a moment. I got an email from Helen.
Okay.
Mrs. Helen Anna Mirren. Now, the good news is, or the bad news first, she has cancer.
Okay.
The good news is she's leaving me apparently $10.8 million. To do whatever I want, because she can't trust her relatives. This is like the new email scam going around. It's Helen from Helen.
This is why
the subject line, Helen.
This is why we have to check our phone so much, because you get a buzz, you get a new email, and this is what it turns out to be.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. You know, when Apple introduces new smartphones like it did yesterday, it's time to review how to trade in your current one to get that upgrade. The Wall Street Journal's Joanna Stern says to get the best deal, post a for sale sign in your office or school or on Facebook. If someone bites, it's the easiest, most cost-effective option. There's no shipping, no commissions. Buyer can even check out the device first. For trade-in services, she reports that Gazelle, Nextworth, and iCracked offer the best combo of perks, policies, and prices. What about carrier buybacks? Joanna says Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint offer $40 to $100 less than, say, Gazelle on the iPhone 6. And 5S. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, as the EU unveiled plans to take 160,000 refugees from overstretched border states, the U.S. says it will accept more Syrians to ease the pressure from the worst migration crisis since World War II. Secretary of State John Kerry says lawmakers in Washington are trying to zero in on some numbers.
That's being vetted fully right now, and I think at the appropriate time we'll have a better sense of exactly what that number can be.
Initial plans are to accept 5,000 additional refugees next year. A federal judge has cleared the way for a legal challenge by congressional Republicans to President Obama's health care law to proceed. The judge ruled the House can pursue its claim that the administration violated the Constitution when it spent public money that was not appropriated by Congress. Federal safety investigators are trying to determine what caused a British airliner's left engine to burst into flames as it hurtled down a Las Vegas runway Tuesday night, forcing the pilot to abort the takeoff and passengers to flee the burning plane. Passengers on the London-bound flight reported hearing two loud booms before flames and the smell of burning rubber sent them dashing to the inflatable evacuation slides. Seattle's public school teachers are set to strike for a second day today, delaying the start of the school year for some 53,000 students as talks about wages, hours, and performance evaluations collapsed. The walkout by the 5,000-member teachers' union is the latest upheaval in Washington State's public education system following court cases challenging charter schools and classroom funding. And if you've always wanted a painting done by a cockroach, today's your day. The Oakland Zoo is raising funds by auctioning off artwork produced by some of its animals. Elephants were helped to hold paintbrushes in their trunks and giraffes in their mouths. Goats and meerkats had their hooves, paws, or claws dabbed with non-toxic paint and run over a blank sheet of poster board while chasing a treat. Andy, the hissing cockroach, scurried around a canvas spreading purple, green, and yellow tones. 32 works are now available on eBay.
Wow. Cockroach painting.
I think you could put one on the wall behind you with your kids' stuff.
Right up there with all my kids' art?
Yeah.
Wow. I've heard it all now. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Hey guys, if you're into fantasy football, you've got to check out FanDuel.com. At FanDuel, you play in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. You only play when you want, and you can change your team any week. FanDuel's paying out over $75 million a week this season. Plus, right now, FanDuel is giving you a bonus of up to $200 that gets earned as you play. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200. Go to FanDuel.com and enter the promo code FF1000. That's FanDuel.com. Promo code FF, the number 1000.
Thanks for being with us on the eve of the NFL season, which kicks off tonight in New England with the Patriots hosting the Steelers. It's time to see which fans are most miserable. After crunching the data, Facebook says it's not the Jets or the Browns or the Jaguars or the Redskins necessarily. No, in fact, the least optimistic fans belong to the San Diego Chargers, even though they've had only one season under 500 the last 11 years. Why the Chargers? Couple of things. Rumors have been swirling about the team moving to Los Angeles, while the future of quarterback Philip Rivers was in doubt until a recent contract extension. Second least optimistic fans, Patriots Nation. But that was when it looked like quarterback Tom Brady would be suspended for his alleged role in Deflategate. The most optimistic fan bases usually had up-and-coming quarterbacks to rally around, like in Miami with Ryan Tannehill, Minnesota with Teddy Bridgewater, and Tennessee with Marcus Mariota. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.